The scripture is Deuteronomy 17, verses 1 through 5. So once it gets up on the wall, we'll begin. I will read it to you. So if you will stand in honor of the scriptures, I will read it to you. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 1 through 5. Thou shalt not sacrifice unto the Lord thy God any bullock or sheep wherein is blemish, or any defect, for that is an abomination unto the Lord thy God. See, don't sacrifice any sheep that has a defect or a blemish. If there be found among you within any of the gates which the Lord thy God giveth thee, man or woman who have wrought wickedness in the sight of the Lord thy God, and transgressing his covenant. So it's a cry for anybody here who has transgressed his covenant. Now, how do you do that? And has gone and served other gods and worshiped them, either the sun god or the moon god or any of the hosts of heaven, which I have not commanded. And if it be told thee that thou hast heard it, and inquire diligently, and behold, it is true, and the thing certain that such abomination is wrought in Israel. So Israelites were worshiping the sun god, the moon god, and the host of heaven. What should you do if someone, if an Israelite is doing this? Well, verse 5. Then shalt thou bring forth that man or that woman who hath committed that wicked thing unto thy gates, even that man or that woman, and shall stone them with stones till they die. You may be seated. What a scripture is this? These five verses of scripture tells us that for an Israelite, the covenant said that serving and worshiping other gods, one of which was the sun god, it was an abomination to God, and the penalty for a person caught doing such a thing was death by stoning. I am happy that this was not true in the United States, for I would be nothing more than a crumbled up mess of broken bones, because I served and worshiped the sun god for about two-fifths of my lifetime. Maybe even a little bit more. I was totally ignorant of what I was doing. I was deceived. And even after I told my friends and family that I no longer would exchange gifts with them, I still participated in family gatherings and watched as family members exchange gifts with one another, ate the Christmas meal with them, but I refused to eat ham, and watched the football games on television. I did not convince any of them that keeping Christmas was wrong. There's a couple exceptions. Joyce and Tom and Randa. It was not a Merry Christmas for me during those days. What had me, and probably you too, in a state of confusion was that I knew where Christmas began. But I thought Catholics were Christians. In fact, I even thought that her daughters, who's the Catholic daughters? The Protestants. They were Christians too. Maybe some of them over 100 years ago were, but it's very hard to find one in today's deceived mess of theology. Even the Amish and Mennonites of today are a disgrace to their fathers of several centuries ago. But that is true with a whole range of things in the world today, isn't it? People do what they think is right, and not what it says in the Bible. That's the main problem. For example, same-sex marriages are the rage now. For judge after judge is ruling that it is unconstitutional. How could it now be unconstitutional when for over 250 years it was the law and it was constitutional? And doesn't the Bible teach absolutely against this sin and calls it an abomination of God? God still calls it a major sin. Well, it's what the Bible says, not our own thoughts. That's the battle going on. In the gay parade, that's the LGBT parade in Cincinnati last week, there was a sign that a woman held up that said, God loves everybody. This implies that God loves the Sodomites. But tell that to all the residents of Sodom and also Gomorrah and the towns around those two towns. When the wrath of God sent brimstones from heaven on all these places and totally annihilated them, would that same woman hold up a sign that said God loves the Sodomites? The same thing happened with the legal murder of a baby in the womb of a mother, the onslaught of rock and roll music, the drug revolution, women receiving the right to vote, other races also receiving national citizenship, the marrying of Israelites with Canaanites and other races. And remember last week, Mark had a brochure of Mitch McConnell and his wife. I've got another picture here. I couldn't find it in the internet, but there's a picture of him. There's Mitch McConnell, and there's his wife, and she definitely looks Asian. She's an Asian woman. At the bottom of that placard that Mark had, it said what? Rand Paul endorsed. Remember that? But what about Rand Paul? The son of a 33rd degree Mason, Ron Paul. How much hope can we have in either of this father-son team when they are both in bed with the enemy? Rand Paul, when he traveled to Israel, went to the Wailing Wall and prayed. And there's a picture of him up on the wall. There's Ron Rand at the Wailing Wall. Rand Paul. What did I say? You have to understand what I'm saying. You're very good. You understand what I'm saying. Rand Paul. And he is supposed to be a possible candidate for the president of the United States. But who else has gone to the Israelite and prayed at the Wailing Wall? Well, we had a whole host of presidents. I'll name a few of them. Ronald Reagan went. Bill Clinton. Both Bushes. Obama. Plus Romney, who ran against him, John McCain, who ran against Obama, Hillary Clinton, and a whole host of others. And do you know who went there 2 weeks ago and said his prayers at the Wailing Wall? The person who is supposed to be the representative of Jesus Christ on the earth today, it's the Pope himself, went to the Wailing Wall and prayed. How about that? The Pope goes to the people who murdered Jesus Christ and prays at their Wailing Wall. What a good representative of Jesus Christ. Why would the representative of Jesus Christ go and pray in the land of the people who hated and murdered him? He called the Jews Christians' older brothers. He also shook hands with the survivors. There were six survivors of the German, I'll just say it, fake Holocaust. The reason is obvious. The Pope is an Antichrist. And since the Inquisitions, many Jews have become Roman Catholics. And they've now taken over the Vatican. The Pope now says that the Romans murdered Jesus Christ and not the Jews. So all of the Jews who were expelled from Europe's nations and cities, the popes say they were wrongly persecuted. Remember, they were expelled for how many years from England? Longer than our nation has been a country. 360 years. From 1290 to 1650, the Jews were kicked out of England. Some 2,000 years ago, Jesus prophesied that Herod's so-called temple of God would be thrown down, and not one stone remaining on top of another. That's what the Bible says. There's no stones remaining on top of it. In 70 AD, Roman general Titus destroyed Jerusalem and the temple, fulfilling to the letter the prophecy of Jesus. Now comes the Masons, the Zionist Christians, the Christ-hating Jews, the Rothschild agents, insisting they will undo what God has done. Now we got a picture of the next person, the Wailing Wall. Let's see if you can guess who this is. Well, it looks like President Barack Obama. He's at the Wailing Wall. He's wearing his abominable skull cap, assisted by a rabbi. See the rabbi right next to him? And he deposits his prayer note in the crack in the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. I just have to say, our spiritually defunct President Barack Obama and our many Christian leaders, Christians in quotes, parade themselves as fools, wearing skull caps and taking instructions from the Jewish rabbis as they worshiped at the so-called Wailing Wall of the temple site in Jerusalem. There they placed their prayer requests written on paper in the cracks between the stones. Now there's Obama putting his paper request between the cracks. What buffoonery. The wall is not even of the old broken down temple. And even if it were, the glory of God cannot be found there. Only the spirit of Satan the deceiver is present, and a sick aura of impending doom permeates this terrible place and its environs. The Bible says that not one stone of the city of Jerusalem was left standing. The Wailing Wall was nothing more than a Roman fortress called Fort Antonia, built north of the actual temples. Do our leaders believe what the Bible says? My question is, do they even know what the Bible says? There seems little doubt that after this remarkable trip, that Pope Francis is becoming more and more an important player on the world stage. He invited both the president of Israel and the Palestinians to go to the Vatican, and it's this weekend, they're both there, to pray for peace. As the Protestant reformers would say, the Antichrist is making his way to do what? To rule the world. Now, what all the leaders of the world should have known is the Wailing Wall is the seat of satanic ritual outlined by the 13th century Jewish occult system known as the Kabbalah, as expounded in the Zohar and expanded upon by this 18th century Hasidic movement. The so-called divine presence at the Wailing Wall is actually the Kabbalistic feminine immolation of their false god, the Sakana. Everybody understand that? Do you know that? If you're ever there, watch closely. And if you watch the TV videos, do you ever see the rabbis at the Wailing Wall? They thrust their pelvises and sex organs back and forth in a prescribed prayer movement called davening, in which the Jew copulates with the Sakana in order to give birth to an erotic union with the Ansoft and the Kabbalistic masculine immolation of their false god. That's what they're doing. For Rand Paul and many other deceived political Zionists like McCain, Bush, Obama, Clinton, Romney, that's all the presidents, and the person ran for president won, the person ran for president lost. For all these people to perform the writ of political passage at the Wailing Wall is nothing less than shake hands with the devil. And if God doesn't dwell in temples made by human hands, as the Bible tells us, much less would he dwell in a Roman fortress. I say the hoax is on. But what about the religious leaders of the world? Well, they too all go and kiss the ring of the vicar of Jesus Christ. from the Dalai Lama to Billy Graham, to leaders in the charismatic movement, Baptist, Presbyterian, Luther, Episcopalian, Pentecostal, Jehovah Witness, Mormon, Methodist, Saddleback Church, etc., as well as the civil rights leaders. In fact, it's almost the entire world loves the Pope and his false heretic church. Now, the next picture is the Pope himself at the Wailing Wall a couple weeks ago, just to show you that he was there. There he is. Can you imagine that? The Pope at the Jewish, and it's not even the Wailing Wall. It's the Roman fortress. Whoa. Well, that's my introduction. But there's another gigantic error that our covenant people are making. What's that? That is celebrating the birthday of the wrong God. Our Israel fathers did not do this for many hundreds of years, for they knew that Jesus Christ was not born in the winter solstice. Today, how did December 25th become the most important holiday in the Judeo-Christian calendar? The term Christ's Mass, along with all other things that are said loudly, publicly, dogmatically, violently, and incessantly, and with the assistance of $6 billion a year in commercial promotions, ranked this holy day as the most popular of the entire year. Beginning even now before the Americans finished the last piece of turkey on Thanksgiving, their promotions for the Mass of Christ begin. Why so much effort? Why is the tone so loud that it literally drowns everything else out? Why is it promoted to the point of compulsion? The answers to these questions are shocking. And not at all when you have been told, neither as an American nor as a Christian. Virtually everything you have been told and subjection to is pure propaganda and disinformation. Patriarchy was the first to go, then abolition, then women were given permission to vote, then different races were allowed to vote, then different religions were allowed to hold political office, then divorce was made easy, then abortion became the right of a woman, then drugs became available, then rock and roll music became the norm. Then same-sex marriages became acceptable. Then, on and on and on. Right after the war between the states, the nation began to celebrate the holidays of both Christmas and Easter. It was in the heart of the Bible Belt, the South, that first began to embrace it. Does anybody know the first state that endorsed this holiday? Alabama. In fact, this day of imperial sun worship from ancient Rome's golden days of absolutist medieval fascist dictatorship are being intentionally restored in America. For precisely, it's the same ancient function. It's not for religious appeal, but for control. And control is simply put, the overly nice word for it. In political terms, it might be called fascist dictatorship. In theological terms, it is simply called what? Demonic. Christmas is demonic. Naturally, it wraps itself in layers upon layers of decorative evergreen trees. Decorative colored outdoor-indoor lights, mistletoe, nativity scenes, special food and drinks, gift wrap presents, holiday plays, to sucker in its primary obstacle into its own ranks. And unfortunately, it has worked. Rome's solar mass to a deity identified in the Bible as Apollyon is not now nor ever been a Christ mass. And no Protestant, except in recent history, ever called it that without cringing. Some fearing even speaking the title itself to be an act of blasphemy. Say Christmas was blasphemy? The real origin and meaning of Rome's solar mass to Apollyon even troubled Latin fathers, who also denounced its ritual fraudulently conducted in the name of Christ. Kroger's, one of the largest food markets in the United States, is open 24/7. Except for one day. What day is that? December 25th. All the stores in the mall are closed on December 25th. In fact, it's the one day that our nation resembles the blue laws. It's Christmas Day. There are more stores that are closed on December 25th than any other day of the year. In my neighborhood that I grew up in, that was Roselawn over in Cincinnati, there were about an equal number of Roman Catholics, Judeo-Christian Protestants, and Jews. About an equal number. And a small amount of people who could not be put in any one of these three categories. My dad told me that one of the reasons that we decorated our house with Christmas decorations and lights was for the world to see that we are Christians. Well, there was a problem. Most Jews and atheists didn't celebrate Christmas, but Roman Catholics did. What I was told was the Roman Catholics, Greek Orthodox Catholics, and most of the Protestants all celebrated the birth of their, or our, Savior, who was born on December 25th. But this became a major problem. How could the Roman Catholics be so wrong when we both celebrated the birth of the same God? I'm going to say that again. How could the Roman Catholics be so wrong when we both celebrated the birth of the same God? Then I learned of my grandmother on my mother's side, who was a Southern Baptist, who refused to marry a Roman Catholic because she had to sign the papers that she would raise her future children as Catholics. Well, Grandpa left his family. He actually was disowned by the whole family. He left his family and his Roman Catholic church and married Grandma. And then came my mother, and then I'm here. But then he joined the Freemasons. Out of the frying pan into the fire. It even became more confusing to me when I discovered that the Pilgrims and Puritans, who came to America to escape from Roman Catholicism and their holidays, the major holiday they hated and refused to celebrate was Christmas. The Pilgrims even had laws that stated that anyone in their colony or state who participated in the Roman Catholic holiday would be fined. Most of the Protestants didn't celebrate it at all, for they knew it was not a Christian holiday, but a Roman Catholic tradition. The Congress of the newly formed Protestant United States even met on December 25th, as they did on all regular days. In the early days of our nation, Jews and Catholics were not even allowed to vote or hold office in most of the colonies of this Protestant nation. Why would a Christian nation permit people who are descendants of the people who murdered our Savior have a place of prominence in our government? And they had suffered cruelties both from these two groups of people in Europe. It wasn't until after the war between the states that there was a large immigration of Catholics from the British Isles and Europe, along with Ashkenazi Jewish groups from Russia and Poland. After this immigration, America began to celebrate Christ's Mass. Now, our next transparency. Let's look at all the lies that are constantly said about this non-Christian holiday. Merry Christmas. Almost everyone in the store tells you that. Merry Christmas. Yet at this time of the year, there exists the highest rate of depression, murders, and suicides. Merry, unmerry Christmas to you, to be more accurate. Put Christ back in Christmas. And yet he had nothing to do with it. How can you put something back in when it was never in it? Jesus is the reason for the season. And yet it existed for centuries before he was born. What reason could Jesus be for this celebration of the Son God's birthday? Christmas is the birthday of our Savior. And yet our Savior was not born in the winter, but it's the birthday of the Son God. Why would a believer want to celebrate the birthday of his God on the very same day as the birthday of a major false god? Christmas and its gifts are for all the children in the world. And yet that would make it a universal holiday, which is contrary to the Bible. Oh, a universal, that's how they snuck it in. Christmas is celebrated by all the races of the world. Christmas is Jesus' birthday. And yet we give gifts to everyone but him. Boy, you have a birthday party. Happy birthday. We give gifts to everybody except the person whose birthday it is. That makes sense. Christmas, which includes that Santa Claus, goes all over the world. And this is supposed to be an exclusive Christian holy day? No, Christmas is for all the races of the world. Christmas is the most important day in the Christian's yearly calendar. There's no mention of any disciple of Jesus Christ. None of them. No church or any faithful person ever celebrating this day in the Bible. Not a word. Here's a picture. This person made Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas what? World. Merry Christmas, world. Well, in Rome, December 25th was made popular, and it became the rule in the West. It wasn't until the year 435 A.D., get this, the first Christ Mass was officiated by Pope Sixtus the Third. Sixtus the Third. That'd be what, 666? This coincided with the date of celebration by the Romans to their primary sun god and became the holiday of the empire. Pope Sixtus the Third was the first to do it, 435. The Persian worshipped the same sun god under the name of Mithras, whose birthday was on the same day, December 25th. Now, the next one is a quote from the Roman Catholic writer, Mario Righetti. He says that to facilitate the acceptance of the faith by the pagan masses. Oh, we got a bunch of pagans here. We got to get them to accept the Catholic faith. The Church of Rome found it convenient to institute the 25th of December as the feast of Christ to divert them from their pagan feast, celebrated on the same day in honor of the invincible sun god Mithras, the conqueror of darkness. The Catholics even know how they started. I even got the Catholic Encyclopedia. It says, quote, the date of Christ's birth is not known. The Gospels indicate neither the day nor the month. According to the hypothesis suggested by Usher and accepted by most scholars today, the birth of Christ was assigned the date of the winter solstice, December 25th in the Julian calendar, January 6th in the Egyptian calendar. Oh, that's why the Greek Orthodox do January the 6th. Because on this day, as the sun began to return to the northern skies,
the pagan devotees of Mithra celebrated the birthday of the invincible sun. It's the 1967 edition, volume 3, page 656, if you would like to look it up yourself. The people who have told you all these lies, and many more, know precisely who the Bible says they are. They also know precisely why they tell you the lies that they do, because they do not want you to know who they are. So while you're busy lying to your child at Christmas, they're busy lying to you. And there is a reason they want to accept lying. The Roman solar mass to Apollyon is not celebrating Christ's birth as they claim. They are celebrating the birth of the sun god. Now, I ask a question. Have you ever tried to convert a believer from the errors of Christmas? I bet everybody would say yes. Well, I do. It's almost an impossible task. It's harder than saying, do you know we're Israelites? Well, that's not that bad. But this is almost impossible. I think it is impossible outside the intervention of Almighty God himself. I've tried for years and have failed. If you believe what the Bible tells you, then worshiping the sun god will bring the wrath of God upon you. Well, let's see. Roman Catholics, Greek Catholics, Presbyterians, Quakers, Methodists, Baptists, Episcopalians, Mormons, Congregationists, Foursquare Church, Disciples of Christ, Christian Church, Church of Christ, Unitarians, and many more of the so-called Christian churches, in quotes, all celebrate what? Christmas. Today, many of the new mega churches, whether it's Cornerstone, there's Vineyard, Lakewood Church, Life Church, Rock Church, Liberty University Church, Bayside Church, Saddleback Church, and on and on and on, they all celebrate it too. And there's a lot of people who don't even claim to be a Christian, who celebrate Christmas. And since the Protestant churches and new mega churches have become what? Multicultural and diverse. There are churches in Mexico, Brazil, China, Korea, Japan, Costa Rica, Sudan, Congo, all over the world. They also keep the supposed Christian holiday. The churches bought the 501c3 lie. And they also bought the lies of their Jewish-influenced seminaries. The Bible does not command you to celebrate it. In fact, it is adamant that for a covenant person who celebrates this birthday of the sun will meet the wrath of God. It mentions that we are not to worship our God like the other people worship their God. No Christmas trees, no mistletoe, no wreaths, no exchanging of gifts, no decorative lights, no Christmas cards, no big festival Christmas meals. No closing of stores, no midnight church services, no charity gifts, no family gatherings, no parties, no Christmas plays, no Christmas music, no Black Thursdays or Friday, no score office pick a name out of the hat gifts, no Eucharist, and so on. But the fact that the Bible, this is our next one, but the fact that the Bible doesn't say anything positive about Christ's Mass doesn't convince hardly anyone. Have you ever used that? That it goes in one ear, out the other. Doesn't mean a thing to them. This is because they say, most will say this, we celebrate this holiday for our children. It's for their children that they perform all these rituals year after year. And yet the verse in Hosea 4:6 says, it tells us that if you don't know true knowledge and you forget the law of God, then God will also forget who? Your children. My question is, has this come to pass? The Catholics celebrate a mass each service that it has, and in many Catholic churches, it's a daily service. On December 25th, they celebrate a special mass of Jesus Christ. The True Church of Jesus Christ hates the Roman Catholic Mass. You hate the Mass? The original Protestants hated the Mass. Why? Because they said, when the Catholic priests said their prayers over the wine, it turned into the actual blood of Jesus Christ. It's the actual blood. And likewise with the bread. When they said the prayer over the bread, it turned into the actual body of Jesus Christ. I have not heard anyone say, wouldn't that be a lot of blood that our Savior had? About one person out of every six in the world are Catholic. One out of six in the world are Catholic. Each church, some every day, gives the Eucharist. The actual blood of our Savior would be millions of gallons and gaining thousands of gallons a year. And our kinsman redeemer would be the tallest person to ever live on the earth if the bread was turned into his actual body. But doesn't the Bible forbid people from drinking blood and eating a brother's body? It would be called cannibalism. The Roman Catholics say this is a mystery. There's Santa Claus, the elves, Rudolph the reindeer, the nativity scene, Christ's mask cookies, and traveling to the grandparents' house is all a part of this special day. And isn't sitting a child on the lap of Santa Claus imitating sitting the child on the deadly hot lap of Moloch? But is there anyone who's telling their people to celebrate it? Well, we got the New Catholic Encyclopedia. It says in Rome, December 25th, became the rule in the West, what year? 435 A.D. Kind of off from the actual birthday. When the first Christ Mass was officiated by Pope Sextus III, 666. This coincided with the date of the celebration by the Romans to their primary god, the Son. And in addition, we have the festival of the Holy Birth was not appointed by the Holy Apostles, nor by their successors either. But many years after the disciples of the heretic, Cerinthus. And by them it was spread and diffused all over the world. Well, who in the world is Cerinthus? Well, Albert Pike knew who he was. On page 269 of Morals and Dogma. Thus, Cerinthus of Ephesus, with most of the Gnostics. Oh, Gnostic, that's bad, right? Gnostics, Gnosticism. Philo, the Kabbalah, that's Jewish Kabbalah. The Zoroastra, the Perennas, and all the Orient deemed the distance and apathy between the supreme being and the material world too great to attribute to the former the creation of the latter, unquote. You want to know why our kids are so mixed up in America these days? What do you think happens to children who have Satan and God mixed up in their souls and can't tell the difference? Because of the wicked deceit of Neocletian ministers who are deluding you spiritually in this matter. Of course they're mixed up. And so are you. And you can thank all those no good, filthy, ungodly, wicked, devil-worshipping Neocletian ministers for it. It's got nothing to do with liberals and atheists. It's your own ministers. Let's compare the ancient holiday of the Roman Saturnalia, and the modern Christmas day. So there's ancient Saturnalia, which is to the god Saturn on the left, and the modern Christmas. Human sacrifice in the ancient Saturnalia, they put the child on the lap of the Moloch. But the Catholic Mass coincides. They had much drunkenness. We have alcohol abuse. House-to-house singing, that's caroling. Rape and sexual license, that's the Christmas parties. Eat human-shaped biscuits, that's eat gingerbread, man. December 24th Eve, that's Christmas Eve. Government holiday. Ball games, we got ball games. They had a big meal. We have a Christmas hand dinner. Evergreen trees were cut and decorated. We got a Christmas tree. The Venus star was venerated. We have a Christmas tree star. Idols were placed around trees. We got nativity scenes. Mistletoe. Both of these celebrations culminated in the birth of the sun god. On the winter solstice, the earth experiences the shortest amount of sunlight. The sun has died. For 3 days, the amount of light remains the same. 3 days. But it's on December 25th that the sun is reborn. The amount of light once again is longer. That's why the Roman Catholics hold the Christ Mass celebration on what time? Midnight on the 25th of December, which is the official rebirth of the sun god. There's a war between God's children and Satan's children. The events of history become more evident when we realize this. Right now, Satan's children are trying to crossbreed God's children out of existence. It is very similar to the four women mentioned in connection with the ancestry of our Lord who are wrongly accused of being of the wrong seed. That's Canaanite or Moabite. Who is that? Tamar? Rahab? Ruth? And Bathsheba. Tamar is the first to have the honor of taking a definite step of racial purity. And it was indeed a great tribute when Judah paid in his pronouncement, "She," meaning Tamar, "has been more righteous than I, Judah." Genesis 38:26. Now my conclusion. I will conclude with the words of John Knox, the father of the Scottish, Reformation. Quote, "The God's word damns your ceremonies, it is evident. For the plain and straight commandment of God is not that thing which appears good in thine eyes shalt thou do to the Lord thy God, but what the Lord thy God has commanded thee, that do thou. Add nothing to it. Diminish nothing from it." Now, unless that you are able to prove that God has commanded your ceremonies, this, his former commandant, will damn both of you and them. Wow. Now, there was this death this Wednesday of civil rights activist, poet, Maya Angelou. I saw that on TV. I said, who in the world is she? I never heard of her. If I did, I forgot who she was. So I Googled her name. This is what I found. She is known for her views on tolerance and inclusiveness. Oh, that's political Jewish correctness. She was a member of what church? Glide Memorial Church of San Francisco. Now, Glide, I found out, was a very rich Methodist who, like in the early 1900s, bought this land and built the church. This church has admirers ranging from, this is all on their website. And by the way, I looked through a lot of it. I didn't have time to read everything. I did not find one scripture, even a reference to a scripture. There's no scripture in the whole thing. This church has admirers ranging from Warren Buffett to Senator Dianne, Feinstein. Her funeral services had Bill Clinton, Oprah Winfrey, and Michelle Obama. Were three of the speakers. They had more speakers than that, but they were three of the main ones. That caught my attention. So I looked on the church website. I found that the co-founders was a man by the name of Cecil Williams, who was controversial and radical. He also was a black man. He went to the church in the 1960s, and when he went there, he took it over, and most of the conservative members did what? They left. More about that later. And his wife, this will be a hard one, Janice Murakatania. It's something like that. She's an Asian. She came to the Glide Church with a mission to create meaningful change in the world. Now, that was 1960s, so that was over 50 years ago. They're both now serve as members of the Board of Trustees. This lady, who was a co-founder, served in the Japanese concentration camp in America during World War II. She was in a concentration camp in Arkansas. They now have two pastors. The main pastor, her name, you got a woman pastor, Karen Alipto, a white woman, and Theon Johnson III, a black man, are the church's two pastors. They address hunger, poverty, homelessness, racism, and homophobia. Now, I got this direct off their website. Here's what it says. People of all races. Good, you're very good. People of all races, ethnic backgrounds, cultures, social classes, ages, faiths. People of all faiths? What does that mean? And sexual orientations join together at every Sunday celebration to experience the energy of spiritual liberation coupled with the fusion of jazz, blues, and gospel performed by the renowned Glide Ensemble Choir and the Change Band. Now, Maya was married three times, danced at a strip joint, shared the stage with comic Phyllis Diller, and garnered career advice from singer Billie Holiday. They didn't say that on the speeches that honored her. She worked as a coordinator for the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, which was a known communist organization, and lived for years in Egypt and Ghana. In 1968, she helped Martin Luther King Jr. organized the Poor People's March in Memphis, Tennessee. And I also found articles that promoted Nelson Mandela, the communist, and Trayvon Martin. Remember him? Their woman pastor married same-sex sodomites. The day they said you can marry them, she was up there marrying a whole bunch of them. And the church celebrated the Roman, Catholic holiday of Christmas. Oh, they celebrate Christmas too. Does anyone wonder why this woman is honored by so many important people? Well, let's review. The Bible nowhere mentions that we, God's covenant people, are to celebrate Christ's Mass. In fact, we're not supposed to celebrate any kind of Mass. The Bible does not even contain the word Christmas in its entire writings. The Bible does not record any of the apostles, elders, church leaders, or churches celebrating this day. The Bible does not say that our kinsman redeemer was born on the same day as the sun god. In fact, it gives clues that he was born in the fall. The Bible nowhere indicates that this day is the most important holiday for a Christian to keep. That's strange, isn't it? Most important holiday is not even mentioned in the Bible. When you study history, you learn that the pagans celebrated this day centuries before Jesus Christ's birth. In fact, you can find Christmas trees and all kinds of things they were doing. The pagan Romans celebrated under the term Saturnalia. In the city of Ephesus, Pope Sixtus III, 666, a Diocletian, celebrated the first Christmas in the year 435 A.D. Cerinthus, a Diocletian who was a Gnostic, vegetarian, heretic from Egypt, is credited, along with his disciples, with spreading this Mass of Christ around the world. all of the Protestant reformers, all of them, referred to the popes as being a antichrist. Every Protestant reformer called the pope an antichrist. I guess that's why they got rid of the Geneva Bible. All the true churches of Jesus Christ who wrote in their statements of faith, and all of the Protestant reformers and leaders hated the Roman Catholic Mass and what it stood for, and hated the Christ Mass and all other religious holidays that Romanists celebrated. The Pilgrims and Puritans who first settled the United States were haters of the Catholic Church and would not celebrate any of their man-made holidays. Other Protestant groups that followed into the United States hated the Catholics' blasphemous Mass and their holidays, and did not celebrate them, which of course included Christ Mass. But in the late 1800s, a large number of immigrants of Catholic and Jews came to the United States. They brought with them the holiday they had kept in Europe, Christ Mass. Catholic means universal. So Christ Mass appealed to all races of the world. That's what I saw. Christmas appeals to everybody. It's a universal holiday. Santa Claus, or his old nickname, Old Saint Nick, came into being. This goes back to the Nicolaitans, which the Bible says our God hates their deeds. Cerinthus, who was a Nicolaitan, spread the Christ Mass, which was nothing more than an adulterized mixture of pagan celebration of their sun god with new Christian names. The Christmas trees, wreaths, candles, lights, meals, gatherings, family meals, exchanging of gifts, parties, shopping, closing of stores, are all ways that the heathen worship their sun god. And our Lord instructed us not to even attempt to worship him in that manner. This Christmas, notice what they show. The Pope celebrating the Mass at the midnight service. So what have we learned? The Bible says to not keep any day like the heathen worship. History tells us that this day is a day that was promoted by heretics. So it's become the biggest day of the year. I challenge you. Try and convince someone to stop. You'll fail. The peer pressure is too great. So what has his covenant people done? And if you notice, people that leave our church, won't take long, they'll begin to celebrate Christmas. So what has his covenant people done? They keep the Roman Catholic holiday right along with their once known enemy. And now they don't even know that this false religion is their enemy. For they worship on the same day and celebrate the birth of the sun god. The Bible did say that our enemies would seduce us by what? Deceit and by sorcery. I'm telling you, they have. I am convinced that the best response that we can give to any person that tells us Merry Christmas is to reply, I do not celebrate the Mass of Christ. I am not a Roman Catholic. I am a Christian. It's the same with 9/11. How in the world could a 47-story building come down in 7 seconds? It's actually less than 7 seconds. How could they pull it? Can you bring down any building with your command? How many Americans think it had to be set up with explosives on the inside? How did a large jet crash into the Pentagon and completely disintegrate? All that remained was a small hole that the plane was supposed to go into. No passenger remains, no airport pilots or stewardesses, no luggage, no black box, no airplane parts, The same with the small 15-foot empty hole with nothing in it in Pennsylvania. How does Sandy Hook show a picture of a girl who lived in another state as one of the murdered children? Why didn't the parents of the murdered girl complain? And why weren't her parents ever interviewed? Why didn't they interview the school janitor, Rick Thorne? Why didn't he interview any of the six children who spent a couple hours at Gene Rosen's house? Why hasn't anyone ever interviewed Ryan Lanza or Peter Lanza? The American people are lied to on a consistent basis. There is strong evidence that the school wasn't even used as a school for the last several years. Sandy Hook has a Masonic Hall that dates back to the founding of our nation and is a major satanic center of the entire eastern United States. But that doesn't faze anyone at all. But who do you believe? The Roman Catholic Church falsely dates Christ's birthday at Christmas, which is nothing more than a substitute for a pagan holiday. But the Roman Catholic Church was never the true church, not even for a nanosecond. For those of us who attempt to keep the Israelite sacred days, we have to remember that the world is geared to the pagan holidays, and we have to adjust our schedule accordingly. They say that the birthday of Jesus Christ is celebrated every December 25th. They celebrate it by giving gifts one to another around the Christmas tree. The whole world gathers together for a festive meal, with the men usually watching a football game in the United States. There's not one point that they can say that God approves of their behavior. And the world believes it. Don't be deceived. The true Christian religion is the most powerful reaction against Jewish tendencies to achieve world domination. What? The true Christian religion is the most powerful reaction against Jewish tendencies to achieve world domination. It is an insurmountable protest against the elevation of the mongoloid race against the Aryan Semitic race. And so it's only natural that the Christian clan is a sworn mortal enemy of both the founder of this religion and the Christian race itself. Accordingly, Jewry can only firmly establish the superiority and rule of the mongoloid race when it has managed to defeat the natural reaction opposing it and to destroy the institution of Christianity. That is why they are destroying Christianity and its nations. My last verse is Revelation 18:4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying what?
Come out of her.
Come out of her, my people. That you be not partakers of her sins, and that you not receive not of her plagues. What if you stay in her? It's written to his people. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel.